Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids' allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
Hello, fantasy baseball fans. I'm Paul Williamson. This is Fantasy MLB Today, a Sports Ethos presentation. Thank y'all so much for joining me today. I bet you're wondering what we're going to talk about in the podcast now that we're entering the All-Star break, since we don't have any games to be talking about. Streamers, whatever are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you about that here in just a second, but first I'm going to give a little spiel, kind of based off of Anthony's podcast the other day where he talked about going on vacation to Six Flags. Oh boy, last time I went to Six Flags, I found out that I'm no longer a young spring chicken, that's for damn sure. Man, whenever I was a kid, there was a summer where I lived right next to Six Flags Astroworld. I mean, I lived like 10 minutes away from it, and during that summer, I was fortunate enough to get myself a season pass. And I would literally wake up some mornings and go, I feel like going to Astroworld. And I would go on like a Tuesday afternoon and just ride roller coasters for a few hours while my mom was at work. She gets off work, come pick me up. And when I say I would ride roller coasters all afternoon, I mean, there'd be times where I'd get on this ride called the Dungeon Drop. It was like a 365-foot tower, and you would just drop you out of the sky, and it was awesome. And I rode that thing like 30 to 40 times in a row. When I said this Astroworld is a ghost town, in the afternoon, during the summer, during this time, it pretty much was. I was one of like maybe a few hundred people in the park, and I would just sit there and ride over and over and over again. I would ride the Grease Lightning. It was a blast-off roller coaster into a loop. I'd read that thing like 40 times in a row, and I would just sit there, and the ride operators let me go and go and go. The only time I had to get up was someone else get in line, and they wanted to ride too. Bastards. Then I just got off the ride, walked around, got back in line, and rode another 30, 40 times in a row. It was fantastic, man. One of the greatest times of my life. Me and my wife recently went to Six Flags over Texas and Dallas, and well, let's just say I can't ride roller coasters as much as I used to. I rode the Texas Giant, and whenever I was a kid, the Texas Giant was an all-wooden roller coaster. Now they revamped it. It's all steel track, and it's incredible, guys. I mean, if you ever get a chance to go to Dallas and go to Six Flags over Texas, the new Texas Giant is fantastic. It's a steel track. It is so smooth. Even though I do miss the rickety-ness, I was the kind of guy that loved the old-school wooden roller coasters. The rickety-ness was, in my opinion, was a lot of fun, but man, the new Texas Giant is fantastic. The turns are you're dang near 90 degrees hanging off the side of the edge and in a lap bar, not a shoulder restraint. So you're like you're flinging yourself off over the side of the ride with how steep the turn angle is. Dang near you're on your side essentially there. It's almost upside down. It's incredible. And so anyways, I rode the Titan, which is a 256-foot roller coaster on the first drop. I mean, it's an incredible roller coaster. It goes about 70 miles an hour. Tons of G-forces on the helixes. Anyways, I rode both these roller coasters once, and I had to take a break. I was feeling terrible afterwards. I was slightly nauseous. I had a headache. It was a lot of fun. It really was. I freaking loved it, but I was dang near done for the day after that. I guess my body just can't take it like it used to, man. But you know what? That's not going to stop me. I cannot wait to go back and ride them again. I loved it. Part of it might have been because I was a bit of an empty stomach, I guess. Might be an excuse. Me, I'm just making excuses for myself. Whatever it is, I still love roller coasters, y'all. It was a big passion of mine as a kid. It's still a bit of a passion of mine now. now. So anyways, I just had to get that off my chest after hearing about what Anthony did at his Six Flags vacations and stuff like that. So, oh my goodness, I can't wait to go back. Alrighty, y'all. Before I get into today's topic, I want to give a little shout out to Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right up to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every set, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino to get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with whatever over 150 slot games. Head to the website today, get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $150. Bet Online, the game starts here. Alrighty, y'all. So what am I going to do today? Well, if you've been following on to the podcast over the past couple of months, I've had some segments where I gave y'all some buy lows and sell highs. And so how have those calls gone? I'm going to go over some of them in this podcast. I'm going to go over more of them in tomorrow's podcast. But just make sure that you're following the Sports Ethos Fantasy Baseball account at Ethos Fantasy BB, at Ethos Fantasy BB, to get more of our predictions moving forward, especially coming up with the All-Star break. We got some special All-Star articles coming up, prospect All-Stars, the All-Dud team, the All-Star team, for all of our contributors are putting in some work and putting in their suggestions for those articles as well. So it's going to be kind of a collective effort, so be on the lookout for those, and be on the lookout for our future predictions articles coming out on Thursday, in which we decide, you know, who do we think is going to win the freaking World Series, who's going to make the playoffs, what kind of trade are we going to see, what prospects might get called up. We're going to give you more predictions and more looking into the crystal ball. So make sure you're following us there. Follow me on Twitter at PaulW_34, at PaulW_34. Let me know what you think about my calls. What do you think about my buy low, sell high options? Let me know what you think about Six Flags. I don't care. Just let me know there. Make sure you're checking out the Discord as well. Get some interaction going on there. Ask me some questions. I will answer them on the podcast. Alrighty, y'all. So how have I done? And yes, this is a bit of a recap show. I always kind of hated recap shows whenever I was watching, you know, appointment television, where you would sit down at 7 o'clock and watch your favorite show every Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever it was. So this is kind of my version of that, but I'm going to tell you how did I do. So if you want, go back to June 10th and listen to the Art of Taylor Ward being the namesake of this episode, and where I gave you a list of some sell highs and buy lows. So let's start off with Anthony Volpe. When I did this podcast on June 10th, through 67 games of the year, he had a .275, .337, and .420 slash line, with 6 homers, 25 RBI, and 47 runs scored and 12 steals. How did I do when I called him a sell high? Well, I knocked this one out the park. He has been terrible since I recorded that podcast. Over his last 29 games, he has no homers since the podcast, only 7 RBI. He does have 3 steals, which is okay, I guess, and 14 runs scored. He is slashing .177, .215, and .242, y'all. Pat yourself on the back. I'm patting myself on the back. This was a great call. Anthony Volpe was a definite sell high at the time. And as of right now, he is kind of where he's going to be, where his surface level stats are matching his expected numbers at the moment. And kind of based on just how terrible he has been, he might be considered a little bit of a buy low at this point, because I knew he wouldn't be as good as he was, but I didn't think he'd be this freaking bad. I mean, his expected batting average is still .248. He does have a decent barrel and a better than league average launch angle sweet spot. So there are a couple of numbers to potentially like about Volpe rest of season. But overall, I think he's kind of at where he's probably going to be for the rest of season. And if you sold him high when you could, good job. The next guy on the list was a much bigger name and a bit more of a riskier call, and that was Jose Ramirez. And through the first 63 games up to the recording of the podcast, he had 18 home runs, 62 RBI, 10 steals, with a .275, .376, and .534 slash line. So, how did I do? I got this one right as well. Over his last 28 games, so it's not exactly half, he only has 5 home runs and 15 RBI. In order for him to have maintained the pace he was at with the 18 homers in 63 games, we would have needed to see something along the lines of 8 to 9 homers and about 25 to 30 RBI, not the 5 homers and 15 RBI that we see here.
Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids' allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my
stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
His batting average is still .272, but the on-base percentage has gone down to .308, and his slugging percentage went down about 80 points, down to .456. And so he has definitely regressed from the time that I recorded the podcast. If you sold him high at the time, then good job. And he is still maybe a bit of a sell high, not as much as he was then, because that batting average at .272, the expecting batting average is this .255. The walk rate for him is down this year compared to last year, down from 10.8 down to 7.3. And also the chase rate is worse, from 28% up to almost 31%. So he's chasing more, he's walking less. The expected batting average is only 255, 253. And the launch angle sweet spot has also gone down from 36.8 to 33.9. So he's doing a little worse at the launch angle. He's not walking as much. The chase rate isn't as good as it was. And then also the expected batting average is about 20 points lower than where it's at. So there is still a little bit of regression coming for Jose Ramirez, even though I do think that he is kind of at the home run rate that we're going to see, because that 5 home runs in 28 games is about a 25 to 30 home run season pace, which, like I said on that first podcast, Jose Ramirez is not going to be a bad baseball player. I don't think he's going to suck. However, he wasn't going to be what he was. Those 18 homers and 62 RBI pace that he was on through 63 games was just not sustainable, and it wasn't sustainable. And you've seen that slugging percentage drop 80 points, 30-point drop on the on-base percentage. The next thing to drop is going to be the batting average, in my humble opinion. So he is still a little bit of a sell high, but not nearly as aggressive on that sell high as he once was. The next person on the list I called a sell high was Ezekiel Tovar. And through the first 65 games to the recording of that podcast, he had 10 homers, 25 RBI, 4 steals, was slashing .293, .324, and .484 on the slug. What has he done since? Well, through 29 games, you got this one right. I got this one right as well. Good job, Paul. Good job, y'all, for listening to me, because he only has 2 home runs since then in 29 games, and he needed to be at about 4 or 5 homers at this point for him to have maintained the pace he was at. He has only 10 RBI. He needed to be somewhere around 18 to 20 to maintain the pace. He has not stolen a base. That was a little bit surprising to me. I thought he would at least stolen some bases since then, but he has not stolen a base since I recorded that podcast. And he's only batting .214, so that batting average is down about 80 points. The on-base percentage is down over 100 points, and the slugging percentage is down from .484 down to .342 over the last 29 games since I recorded the podcast. That's like, what is that, a 140-point drop in the slugging percentage? Wow, this is a pretty, you sold him high, guys. Good freaking job, because dude, it got ugly for him lately. And so look on the, based on the current surface stats, he can still have some power, right? He has an average barrel rate, and he also has an above average in the 76th percentile launch angle sweet spot. So the power numbers can still be there. However, he's currently slashing .269, .296, .441. The .269 batting average is backed up with a expected batting average of .226, and the slugging percentage of .441 is backed up with a slugging percentage, expected slugging of just .370. So there is still more regression to come from Tovar. I just think the only thing that you're going to see from him for the rest of the year is some okay power numbers. The batting average is going to continue to drop, and he also has just awful quality of at-bat numbers. He's chasing a lot. He's whiffing a lot. He's striking out a lot, and he's not walking a lot. That's not a good sign. Tovar is probably still a bit of a sell high, because those surface numbers are going to continue to drop from where they are now. Alrighty, y'all. Enough patting myself on the back here. Let me get into a couple of names that I just got wrong. The first name that I got wrong was Anthony Santander. Going into the podcast, he had 61 homers. 61 homers. Holy shit. See, he had played 61 games, and he hit 14 homers with a 337 RBI with a .223, .351, .472 slash. And, well, I was very wrong. In the 29 games since the podcast, he is slashing .257, .295, and the slug is .522. He has hit 9 homers in 29 games, and he has 20 RBI. He has actually done better, like significantly better, than he had up to the point when I called him a sell high. And you know what? On this one, I'm just going to take the L. I don't think he's a sell high anymore. I think he has proven me dead wrong. And you know what? I'm man enough to admit, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Those expected numbers are looking a lot better than they were whenever I recorded the podcast. He has really turned it around. The expected slugging is up to .449. He's in the 77th percentile in barrel, 81st percentile in launch angle sweet spot, and he does have pretty solid league average exit velocities and hard hit rates. I think he's going to continue to be what we see here. The only regression that we're probably going to see a little bit is on the batting average, but it's not like going to be so significant, because the batting average now at on the year is sitting at .230, and that's about probably where it's going to be. And it might drop a little bit, maybe, but that's not even, I got this one wrong, period. If you traded him and listened to me, I don't know, sorry. Can't get them all right. All right. Let's move on to the next person I want to talk about, and that is the namesake of the episode, and that was Taylor Ward. And this was a this was a sell high, kind of based on what his recent numbers had been. In the 18 games up to the recording of the podcast, he had a 164, 333, and 249 slash. And I said, man, there's no way he's going to be this bad for the rest of the season. And so far, he has not done what I thought he would do. In the 28 games since the recording of the podcast, he only has 3 homers, 10 RBI, and he's slashing 190, 340, and I wrote 633, but there's no way that's right. He is slashing .300. He is a slugging .340. I wrote down his OPS. His OPS is just .633. The slugging is .340. So at the end of the day, what we got ourselves here is another. He is still a buy low, y'all. He is not a 190 average guy, and he's been batting under .200 since the recording of the podcast and 18 games before the podcast. It's been a very, very ugly stretch for Taylor Ward, but I am still a big believer in him, because even after this massively horrible stretch, you have to believe that it's all bad luck. Listen to these percentile rankings on the Under the Hood stats. XWOBA 76th percentile at .358. The average exit velocities at the 82nd percentile at 91.3. The barrel rate, the very important barrel rate. I told y'all in the Making Sense of Alphabet Soup podcast that the barrel rate is an excellent predictor of power and getting runs, having run production. And that is, and he is in the 92nd percentile in that rate at 14.2%. The hard hit rate is in the 70th percentile at 44.2. The launch angle sweet spot, I harp on this a lot. He is in the 95th percentile at 40.9%. The chase rate is in the 66th percentile at 19%. And his walk rate is in the 78th percentile at 10.6%. So he has solid expected numbers, a very good excellent quality of contact numbers, including launch angle, high barrel rate, good hard hit rate, average exit velocity is elite as well. And his quality of at-bat numbers are very good, from the chase rate and the barrel rate being where they are. There is no way Taylor Ward is going to be this bad for the rest of the year, guys. Go get him. Go see if you can trade a middling bat right now. Go see if you can trade a bat like a Harrison Bader maybe might be able to get this done. I mean, if just looking at the surface stats, man, like you can trade kind of a middling outfielder right now for Taylor Ward. Go find a manager that is just panicking on Ward, going, oh, he sucks now, I don't want him, and see if you can get someone to bite on the trade in which you can get excellent value. Taylor Ward is going to be a very good asset for the rest of the year. I think that there's no way that he's going to continue to be this bad. The expected numbers, the quality of content, it's not like he has just like one section of his under the hood numbers that are excellent. It is all of them. Not all of them, but the expected stats are there. The quality of at-bat numbers are there. The quality of contact numbers are there for Ward. I am a believer in him, so do not give up on him. Okay, let's talk about Christopher Morel. And we're getting into another podcast. The name of this podcast is There's Morel to the Story. As the namesake suggests, I'm a believer in Christopher Morel then, and I still am. Let's talk about him. At the time of the podcast, he was batting .201, .311, .388 on the slash with 11 homers, 37 RBI, and 5 steals. Since then, it hasn't gotten any better. It's about the same. In the 35 games of the podcast, he's hit 5 homers, 10 RBI, only 10 RBI, 2 steals, is slashing .195, .288, and .336. Look, the .195 batting average, you have expected batting average of .246. So that's a 50-point drop there. The expected slugging is .456, and the last 35 games, he's slugging .336. So the expected slugging is 120 points higher than what we've seen from him. The barrel rate that he has is 11.7. That's in the 80th percentile. That is fantastic. His hard hit rate is also there at 44.4%. He is at a 71st percentile in the chase rate, the 82nd percentile in the walk rate. His XWOBA is 349. And another number that I really love about Christopher Morel that I think shows a massive pop-off coming is his XWOBA on contact specifically is 411. The league average on this is 369. So he is almost 50 points higher on the XWOBA on contact as opposed to the league average. I love me some Christopher Morel still. The expected numbers are not dropping off. He is just continuing to be one of the most unluckiest hitter in all of baseball. I am still in on him. If you have him on your roster, be patient. Do not sell him. If you want him on your squad, this would be a great time to do it because that batting average still is hovering around the Mendoza line. He still is underperforming based on what his under the hood and his expected stats are telling us he should be doing. Go get Christopher Morel on your squad right now.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Alrighty, y'all. Let's talk about Manny Machado. He was a buy low on. He was a big time buy low going into the recording of that podcast. In the first 59 games, he had only hit 6 homers with 32 RBIs, was slashing 251, 315, 379, and I knocked this one out the park. If you went out and got yourself a Manny Machado after I recorded this podcast, good job. I know I'm telling myself good job because maybe you found someone who thought that Manny Machado being a little bit older, maybe you thought he was washed up, and so y'all went out and traded for him. And good job if you did, because he had in 59 games before the podcast, he had hit 6 homers and 32 RBI. In just 30 games since, he has hit 7 homers, has 20 RBIs, is slashing .297, .323, and is slugging .509. That has gotten all of his surface stats up to .267, .317, .423, and that is right along where he should be. So where Manny Machado is at now is what he's going to be for the rest of season. He is all back to normal. He's going to be providing the type of numbers that you would be expecting from him with a .260 average or so, a .430 or so expected slugging. You're going to get homers. He's going to get some RBI. He's going to be a pretty solid asset for you for the rest of the year. However, I will say this. If he continues the trajectory he's on now, if he continues to see that batting average get higher and higher, if that slugging percentage, he continues to be at .509, and the expected numbers do not come along with it, keep that in mind as well. If those expected slugging and the batting average, all this stuff, if they don't go up together, if the expected numbers and the real numbers don't go up together, then he becomes a sell high, because he's not going
going to be better than he is now on the surface. So if those surface numbers continue to go up and you do not see an improvement in his under the hood numbers, so if the expected slugging, expected batting average, his launch angle sweet spot, barrel rate, average exit velocities, we're all the rat now. If those numbers do not go up along with the surface stats, then he becomes a buy, a sell high. But as of right now, he's where he needs to be. There's no action to be taken. All right, another name on the sell high, on the buy low list for me was Pablo Lopez. And man, you know, this is an interesting case, y'all. Going into the podcast in the first 12 starts and 67 innings, he had a 4.84 ERA, with 66 hits allowed, 11 walks, 75 strikeouts in a 67 innings. So he's been a good strikeout pitcher, but in the 7 start stints, he's been worse. He's allowed more hits per innings at 34 hits, 12 walks as opposed to 11. And then you're looking at a 5.54 ERA. But the FIP in that time was 3.84. His XFIP in Sierra in this time is even better than it is on the year. On the year, he has a 3.20 XFIP and a 3.20 Sierra. In these last six starts, he has a 2.58 XFIP and a 2.74 Sierra. So the ERA predictors are actually getting better, but the ERA itself continues to go up. Look, XFIB and Sierra, I've talked about how they're more long-term predictors, but that doesn't necessarily mean they have no value in terms of predicting and understanding how good a pitcher should be doing this year. And those numbers are, my God, 2.58 and 2.74. There's no way he's going to be a pitcher with a 5-plus ERA. He's getting these numbers because, one, he's allowing kind of less ground balls. He's usually around 46% on the ground ball rate. It is down to 36% on the ground ball rate. And then he's not only is he allowing more fly balls, but the home run to fly ball ratio is well above league average. It's at 16%. He himself is generally around 12 to 13% on that number. So there's a little bit of bad home run fly ball ratio luck going on here. Go and take a look at the expected slugging against him is only 3.96. That's below league average. The WOBA against him is also below league average at 3.06. And this is also a reminder, I think this WOBA at 3.06 is within the 7-start time frame since the recording of the podcast. And remember, from the Alphabet Soup podcast, WOBA is a very important predictor of runs scored, home runs, and batting average. So he has a below league average WOBA against him. Overall, his expected slugging is also below league average. You have the XFIB and the Sierra are also working in his favor. I still think Pablo Lopez is a buy low. I still believe in him for the rest of the year. I just, you know, this is baseball. Baseball happens, and baseball is happening to Pablo Lopez. I think he's going to be better than he is. Alrighty, y'all. Thank y'all so much for joining me today. I'm going to have more names on the podcast next time out. I'm going to talk about Brandon Nimmo. I'm going to talk about Mackenzie Gore, Ronel Blanco. Let's see here. Dalton Varsho and Carlos Rodon are some key names that I will be talking about and see if I got those calls right. So be on the lookout for my podcast tomorrow. I will also have some more. I will also have some more buy low and sell highs for you. And also we will have a special podcast with Anthony going to be recorded tomorrow night for your listening enjoyment over the weekend. So our first ever Fantasy MLB Today co-host podcast of the year. I am super excited to be able to do one with Anthony, and I hope y'all enjoy it as well. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at EthosFantasyBB. Make sure you're checking out all the other departments and divisions that we have at EthosFantasyNFL, at EthosFantasyNBA. Get those NFL draft guides and advice for your running backs. I mean, if you want to know the best backup running backs to get, some wide receiver rankings, all the rankings you could ever want, all the at Ethos Fantasy NFL. If you want to make sense of the free agency frenzy in the NBA, check out at Ethos Fantasy NBA, y'all. Thank y'all so much for joining me. Y'all have a great day. This has been brought to you by Bet Online.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.